Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you in the Holy Spirit, raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and sent into our hearts the Spirit of your Son. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may know the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, and chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 30 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 111. Praise the Lord! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He is redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. Gracious and bountiful God, give us grace always to thank you and share our gifts with others, that the world may be filled with the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ.
A reading from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at the 15th verse. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel. John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Today's sermon is based on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. So today Paul is instructing us to carefully watch how we live our lives, because how we live our lives matters to God. God cares about the decisions we make. He truly does. Are we looking at how we are walking? I know others are looking at us as deacons, priests, bishops, etc. In our capacities in the community Catholic Church, they are watching us to see if we are walking the path. Churches are filled with beautiful candles. They're absolutely shining so beautifully, and they add a deep sense of worship. When we look at the candles, I'm sure that we have the same thoughts. We are just so drawn into the beauty of the flame, the wonder of the life of the candle. We don't scientifically analyze it, we just watch it. And what we see creates in us an emotional response, So when people look at our lives as Christians, they also don't analyze our belief systems. They don't try to rationalize our minds, mind processes, or try to work out what makes us think the way we do, or what makes us believe the things we believe. Instead, as people watch our lives, they watch to see if what we preach in terms of the gospel is matched by the way we live. I'm quite sure we've all done that same thing when we went to church and listened to the gospel and the sermon. We've all questioned, does the minister live his or her life according to his preaching? Our lives are like a candle. Jesus said that himself, that we are to be lights lighting up the world. And just as we all enjoy the light of the candle without scientific analysis, so people will watch our lives to see if the flame of life is real or not. And that is why, for us as Christians, it is so important to try living our lives in such a way that we are honoring to God and to honoring our profession of faith. People watch us to see if being a Christian really makes a difference to our lives. If people can see the difference through us, they will be drawn to God themselves. And if they don't see a difference within us, they won't think it's worthwhile to explore. Your life and my life is like the candle to the world. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. Now, what do you think of when you think about wisdom? Perhaps you may be thinking of a person who is the embodiment of compassion, who cares for others, or was a beacon of light in our world. Maybe it might be a person who is quite unknown to the rest of the world, just an ordinary Christian who might have been a part of your life in the past, or is a part of your life today, whose life of prayerful serenity serves as such an example to you. Many of us, when we think about wisdom, we may think of an unattainable quality, and that other people are wise, and it's certainly not something I could achieve for myself. Wisdom is a quality in others to be admired, but we are all called to a life of wisdom. Paul simply says, make the most of the time. Live life as a gift. Simple as that. What an excellent model to live by. Actually, it could be something that can be written on your gravestone. He or she made the most of their time. Jesus says, live life in its fullness, which is the first step to living a wise life. Now, what does that mean? It means that when we understand God's plans for the world, and when we understand that we are a part of that plan as a result of the mission Jesus has given us to make disciples, we will make the most of our time and not waste it on the things that really do not pertain to that mission. So let me say this again, because this is truly important for us to understand, and as individual Christians and as a church. When we understand that we are a part of God's plan for the world, and that as a result of the missions Jesus has given to us to make disciples, we will make the most of our time and not waste it on things that do not pertain to the mission. Verse 17, Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If life is a gift, then God is the gift giver, and he has given you the gift of life for a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, that's for you to find out. Wisdom is not given to us on a platter. It is something we need to work at, and it is hard work. So what is it that we need to do? We need to persevere in prayer, reading the scriptures, and sitting silently waiting on God, and taking a few risks, too, in order to discern what God's will for our lives might be. When I decided to get ordained, first as a deacon and then a priest, I wasn't absolutely sure that it was what God wanted, but I had a feeling that it might be the case. So I offered myself to the church and said, I'm here if you want me. It was a risk for me to do that, but through taking the risk, God's purpose for my life has been becoming clearer. And so it is for each one of us. Of course, it doesn't mean that we're all going to become priests, because we've seen it in our little church. Some have been ordained, but for reasons only known to themselves, they have had a change of heart. They took a risk, but it wasn't God's plan for them to continue on this path. We all have a destiny to be lived out, and all of us a place in God's purpose for us. and the wise life is hallmarked by the search for that place in God's purpose. In verse 18, Paul warns us by saying, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." First thing Paul wants us to be careful about in our Christian lives has to do with making sure that we are not living in unwise ways. Second, has to do with making sure we are not living foolishly by seeking instead to understand the will of God. And third, we must be careful not to live drunkenly. Now, isn't it interesting that Paul contrasts being drunk with wine to being filled with the Spirit? Why do you think he does that? If you really think about it, the reason that this contrast makes sense is because in the same way that the alcohol influences our behaviors, our thoughts, and our actions, the Holy Spirit also influences our behaviors, our thoughts, and our actions. One is for the better, one is for the worse. So we as Christians must be careful that we are not influenced by the intoxicating effects of alcohol, but instead by the illuminating effects of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So in this world, choose to live wisely, make the most of our times, avoid living foolishly, but seek to understand and do the will of God. Oh, and FYI, it's not to say that one cannot drink any alcohol by any means. As you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. Verse 19, we are being called to participate regularly in corporate worship together. Being filled with the Spirit means singing with your heart to God. There is really no concern about having a good voice or enjoying singing because you like music or are musically inclined. Instead, what we have done is draw our hearts near to God and love God so passionately that our hearts overflow with the psalms, the hymns, and the spiritual songs. I have seen people in church just pouring out their hearts in song to Jesus. The love that emanates from them is absolutely joyous and loving. There is a joy that we have in loving and serving the Lord that must express itself in words to each other. This is what we are doing when we are singing to one another. We are speaking to each other, the overflow of our heart in these songs we sing. Being filled with the Spirit means that your heart speaks to others with building words, making melody from the heart to the Lord. Obeying this command requires us Christians to gather together to worship. We must assemble together as we cannot remain alone. Verse 20, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Another attribute of being filled with the Spirit, being filled with thanksgiving. Giving thanks always through good and bad times, good health, bad health, and trials and in prosperity. Giving thanks for everything, assuming nothing. One of our greatest gifts we can offer back to God is our perpetual thanksgiving. Our challenge is to find how we can be thankful in every circumstance. This can only happen with a heart that seeks the positive in all God has done for us rather than what we may lack. Being thankful always for everything only happens in the hearts of the humble. Giving thanks to God the Father. God really needs to hear our thanksgiving and our appreciations. We need to speak these words to God and let others hear our dependence on the Lord alone, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. There is no greater giver in the world than Jesus. When we are thankless people, we show that we are not filled with the Spirit. From our hearts, gratefulness must pour. The authority and power of Jesus is the means by which we can offer prayer and thanksgiving to the Father. In conclusion, look carefully at how you are walking. Be wise in your decisions. Understand the will of the Lord and make the best of your time because the days are evil. Temptation is always around us. Don't waste your time and life becoming drunk. Fill your life with the Holy Spirit. And how do we live a wise life? By treating life as a gift from God, by discovering our destiny, God's purpose for our lives, by allowing faith to transform how we think and behave, and by committing ourselves to regular attendance and participation at church. If we follow these steps, we will know wisdom. As a writer once put it, never mistake knowledge for wisdom. And when we find our purpose in life, do you know what happens? We shine like the lights in the world, as we have been destined by God to do. Perhaps you may be still seeking to find your purpose, or may have found it. Either way, we are here as a community of love, of friends to support one another as we search for our own personal meaning. For myself, I as a priest am here to support you in your search. One of us has a destiny, a life of purpose to be lived. Be wise. Seek out your destiny.
As we stand in God's presence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the whole people of God, that each one may be a true and faithful servant of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those drawing near to the light of faith, that the Lord will bring them to true knowledge of himself, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all that they do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, that the Lord will help us contribute to its true growth and well-being, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole human family, that we may live together in justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
May the Christ who walks on wounded feet walk with you on the road. May the Christ who serves with wounded hands stretch out your hands to serve. May the Christ who loves with a wounded heart open your hearts to love. May you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet, and everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.